I think it's a great idea.
Joining us in studio right now, as we mentioned earlier, is a pair of Michaels, Michael Monroe and Michael Johnson. Good to have you guys back with us again. Well, anyway, in spite of whatever we're doing with the mics, good to have you guys here. I want to let people know, first of all, that this weekend there are three cabin concerts. And, of course, for those people who don't know, cabin concerts or log cabin concerts are done out at your home, Michael, out on Pike Lake Road.
Yeah.
And it'll be tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday?
Yep. Yep. We couldn't fit everybody in New Year's Eve, so we sandwiched it with tonight and also Sunday.
And before we go any further, are there any seats available, or if people want to call, or no?
Yes, for tonight there are a few seats, and then for Sunday we've got a few seats too. New Year's Eve is all packed out. Tonight is 8 o'clock, tomorrow's 8 o'clock, and Sunday we're going to do it a little earlier, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, yeah. And if people would like to get in on that,
yeah, the they can call.
The number to call
is 218-387-2919.
Super.
You have a face for radio, Michael. That's perfect.
2919.
Very good. Very good.
And Michael Johnson, good to have you back in the Northland again.
Thanks, Bob.
It's good to be here. I don't know if it was a year ago that you guys were, it seems like maybe not quite a year ago, but...
Was it?
I thought it was close to New Year's last time when you were here. Did you do these last New Year's?
I do believe it was then, but was it also not... the North House stuff?
Yeah,
you were here
for North House.
That's right. But well, yeah, whenever it was, good to have you
We've
back.
Done about three radio shows around New Year's because this is the fourth year.
It's getting to be Michael a tradition.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Well, first of all, let me ask you, Michael Johnson, other than up here, what's been keeping you busy?
Oh, many things. I do feel a song coming on, and I've enjoyed that. I've been performing quite a bit, and I'm always planning on recording something, and I'm getting tired of telling people that. So I'm starting another record.
Because people are starting to go, oh, yeah, right.
I've been
hearing that for...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, performing where?
Oh, well...
All over?
You know, I'd say all over, but actually, I'm probably in Minnesota 60% of the time.
And it's getting more and more, it seems like.
It's getting more and more, and partially because... my daughter, I think I was blabbing about my long-lost daughter.
Yes,
I
have she reconnected with.
Now 40-year-old daughter, and she's moving to Minneapolis.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So that's a good thing.
Maybe even be more time in Minnesota.
Exactly,
that would be a good thing,
and
too.
She came to my show, in fact, the night before last, down in the cities at the Dakota Jazz Club.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it was just great. It's a total of four times I've seen her in... Probably total time of 4 hours.
Oh, for crying out
loud. So it was just wonderful.
That's great. That's great.
I was surprised at that concert this summer to find out how many children you had.
Me too. Just, you know, that I know about.
Yeah.
You know, I was stunned. John Gorka.
Yeah.
Is one of your sons?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also Cheryl Wheeler.
Jeez.
She claimed, you know, that she'd found her real dad. And so that was, and then Gorka said, well, I didn't realize that Cheryl was my half-sister. And so by that time, and John came to my show the night before last.
Oh, great.
I introduced him as my long-lost son in addition to introducing my daughter.
Now those rumors are rampant.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota music scene.
And, you know, it's very odd. I said to Truly, my daughter's name is Truly, and I said, you know, you're moving to Minneapolis, so I'm thinking about moving to Minneapolis. And I said, don't, you know, it's not like you're going to get the phone call that says, Darlene and I are moving next door. And then I realized that I don't know who Darlene is. Anyway.
Well, excuse me. How about some music?
Sure.
Shifting gears quickly.
Well, I'll start. We have a goofy little idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael played this for me earlier, and... I'm chiming in.
All right. From up here on the stage, I seen her staring back at me. Captured by my wit and charm and personality. I know, it's more than any mortal should possess.
But I can't take no credit, I'm just blessed, 'cause it's a gift. I don't like to talk about it, it breaks my heart that some folks have to live without it. I don't know where it comes from, heaven knows you can't learn a thing like this. What it is, it's a gift. I bet my looks, she'll ask, how do you play guitar like that? Remember all them chords and where to put your fingers at? A talent big as this can't be explained so easily. So I just smile and say with all humility, well, it's a gift. I don't like to talk about it, breaks my heart that some folks have to live without it. I don't know where it comes from, heaven knows you can't learn a thing like this. What it is, it's a gift. Well, I took a break, strolled up to her, and I ordered us a drink. And with a grin said, confidence is sexy, don't you think? She said, you're so far from sexy, you ain't even on the map. She took that drink I bought her and slowly poured it in my lap. How can you treat a guy as cool as me, as cold as ice? What she told me took me by surprise. It's a gift. I don't like to talk about it, it breaks my heart that you'll just have to live without it. I don't know where it comes from, heaven knows you can't learn a thing like this. What it is, well, it's a gift.
Fitting to lay an egg right at the very end, too.
It's a gift.
And that's a G-I-L-F-T, if you pronounce it, gilft.
Gilft.
It's a gilft.
Gilft. Now, is that something you've written recently?
No, it's something I didn't write at all.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, me too.
You should have.
Me too. No, a good friend of mine, Gene Nelson, wrote that song.
That's a great song. That is a great song. Now, Michael, how about you? We talked to Michael Monroe. I need to... Michael M. and Michael J.,
Hey, but you know, I'm interrupting, aren't I? Yes. How's this little techno thing working with
working
us?
Working okay.
Okay?
Working
then,
okay.
All right, I'll shut up now.
That's all right. That's all right. It's free flow deal here. We don't, but now how about you, as far as your performing goes?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
I don't make very many mistakes usually, but. Oh, you mean how often? Or?
Yeah. What have you been doing?
It was a great year. I've had lots of wonderful gigs. And just last night I was at Lutzen. And
oh, great.
It was just packed down there. So
good.
All the winter lovers were happy that there's snow again.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So
everybody kind of brightened up the other morning, yesterday morning, pretty significantly.
Oh, yeah, seriously. And also, always coming up to New Year's. Well, for the last 4 years, it's been just a highlight to... do these nights at our cabin with Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a mentor to me back in the 70s, and when I was getting started playing music and really
when
helped
he
me.
When he was three and you were one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We started very young.
Yeah. This time of year, do you try and stay closer to home, or do you just not do it that way necessarily? Do you kind of go where you go?
Yeah, you kind of have to go where the gigs are, and I'm happy that I am able to work from home about once a month.
Yeah.
But I love playing everywhere. You know, it's great bringing the Northwoods vibe to people in the cities and all over the place.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Michael J., how'd you happen to be at the Dakota Jazz Club? I don't normally associate you with jazz.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, thank you very much.
That was not judgmental. It was.
No. Although my co-writers, when I work in Nashville, this one guy calls me Mackerel Jazz Note because I'm cold as a mackerel and I always have to throw that extra note in there. But, well, you know, I all those many years I played at Orchestra Hall and the Guthrie and The halls got smaller and smaller, you know, and folks started dying off, actually. And now it's just I'm going to do 2 days next year at the Dakota, and it's a wonderful venue.
Now that's in is that Minneapolis now?
Yeah, it's on Nicollet.
Started out in Bandana Square.
Did it?
Yeah. Dakota Jazz Club first started out over in the Midway.
Yeah.
And they're not just jazz anymore. They bring in people of all genres.
Oh, Judy Collins just played there. Judy Collins did.
Get out.
Yeah.
Judy Collins was in Minnesota, and I didn't know about it.
You know, I should tell you then. We have a duet on her. I have a, she and I are doing a duet on her album.
No kidding.
Cool. Yeah, I'm proud to say.
Is it out?
I mean, yeah, it's out.
And wow, I'll look for it.
Good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What are you going to do for us next?
Mr. Monroe?
How about if we do, you want to do Winter Song next? Or
sure.
The other one?
I don't know. I don't care. I'm not the boss of you.
Okay. So this is the title song from my Winter Song album that I put out a couple years ago. Songs inspired by the North Woods here in the winter. Yeah. In the air like a winter song, making everything white all along my path over memories of autumn hues. It's music to my eyes. I've always loved harmony. Cuts to the very heart of me. Like a fire in December, down to my soul and warms me. It's like the promise of love in the spring. It's in the way that the sun makes me sing. It's in the way that the autumn can bring a grateful tear to my eye. Every season is calling to me to be the changes that I want to see. In a world full of disharmony, I'll sing my winter song. I know sometimes it seems winter freezes everything, but what appears to be cold and still is only sleeping. And sleep is when we dream of the songs that we want to sing. From the darkness and the silence comes a new refrain. It's like the promise of love in the spring. It's in the way that the sun makes me sing. It's in the way that the autumn can bring a grateful tear to my eye. Every season is calling to me to be the changes that I want to see. In a world full of disharmony, I'll sing my winter song.
spring. It's in the way that the sun makes me sing. It's in the way that the autumn can bring a grateful tear to my eye. Every season is calling to me to be the changes that I want to see in a world full of disharmony. I'll sing my winter song.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Michael, you were talking that, that the two of you knew each other way back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Did you maintain, and you we've probably talked about this, and if we have, I apologize, but did you maintain contact then all along, or did you reconnect sometime later and decide to work together?
We were divorced for about 15 years, I think, in the middle of there, weren't we?
Were we not speaking? I forget. We stayed in touch.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
but didn't do a lot of performing together?
In the beginning, we did some shows together. Michael was gracious enough to bring me in on some of his shows, and then he would sit in on some of my shows. And then it was there was a time when you were doing a lot more traveling, and I was kind of fostering my thing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we'd cross paths once in a while. And then it's been in the last 5-6 years we've gotten to
spend a lot more time together.
More than just the, I don't mean just, but more than the cabin concerts as well? Do you do some other stuff together?
We do. We wind up doing occasional other things together.
Mm. Yeah. We
write songs together.
North House thing, we've done some stuff together and playing with some ideas with songs and sending each other stuff that we're interested in, and it's been really fun.
Yeah,
and we've taken up tap where we're dancing together.
We do it, but it's carpeting in here.
Actually, we had a tap dancer on this show one time.
Really?
We really did. Do you remember that, Buck?
It was exciting.
Tap dancer on the radio.
As my son, who happens to be in radio in the Twin Cities, would call it riveting radio.
It was live, too.
It was. It was live in the studio, up at the old studio. We had a great big piece of plywood or something that this person tap danced on. I thought that was almost as good as Joyce Cleese doing her... ceramic tile on air too. That was good. That was good.
Wow, you had to kind of picture that.
You did. That was called imagination radio. Yeah.
Stan Freberg one time had a trapeze act on his radio show, the Zaslav family.
This was equal as exciting.
Yeah.
How does that work?
The nice thing is that for those of us that are in the studio, it's always good. You know, it's just not quite as exciting for our listeners, but they've said that about this show for a long time. So that's why it's so nice to have you guys come on where you can actually send something out over the airwaves. Michael Johnson, you're still doing a lot of writing?
Yeah, I'm writing. It's not my favorite muse. I like Isn't to. It? I'm a sort of an arranger and a performer. I'd rather do that than... writing's not a very musical thing to do for me, but I just love to, you know, you get a couple of words on a piece of paper and they look so good next to each other and it doesn't matter what they mean. And then eventually you say, this is supposed to be about something. And that's when the hard work comes in for me, because it really is the lyrics. It's the lyric, you know?
Yeah. You feel the same way, Michael? Because you do a lot of writing as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For some reason, when I picked up the guitar, I thought I'm a songwriter, and I wrote my first song with two chords that, you know, I was really happy with at the time. But, you know, it only takes
a while.
I can't even remember now, because, you know, a week later, I'm going, well, that stinks.
That sucked.
What the hell was that? So, but then I did, it was very fun for me. I guess one of the most fun things for me is when I do stumble on something that feels really beautiful and really makes sense to me, and then when I can play it out for people and they come back with that same comment. Mm. And so that's happened to me quite a bit, especially around the Northwood stuff. But even my early albums, I got encouraged to write more just by the joy of it and then the response of people. And then the arranging part is something for me that happens over time. It's like I play it out, you know, early on, and then it takes years later, it takes on a different form.
So when you talk about arranging, you're talking about you're taking a song and working it.
Yeah, working it. Being a good accompanist to your own, you know, staying out of the way, being true to the meaning, I guess, of the song. But Michael Monroe, I've got to tell you, the first song I wrote, I was 13. It was called Through With Women. Honestly, I had had it. Or thought I had. Actually, I hadn't had it. But I was through with women. And it was, I knew right away it was a terrible song.
And that the theme keeps coming back around.
It does, guess, from time to time. Come to think of it. Sorry, Darlene.
Oh, man.
Well, what's going to be next?
Well, you know, I'm going to get out from under these headphones and sing this for you. I'll let you all do the mixing as we say down south. And this is a song my friend Hugh Prestwood wrote called So Are We, and this is its debut. So
great.
We'll just see what happens here.
Debut on the Roadhouse.
Yes.
We're honored.
Ooh, that's a bit hot.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm turning down.
Good.
A hair more, and you're good. Hair less.
Hair less. Yeah.
So are you bringing me down, or am I?
We both are.
Yeah, you should, because of the.
Okay. Still.
Just a little tiny bit more down. Okay. Sorry, it's just a little distorting. There we go.
I can bring it down more.
A little more.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now you can bring it up there a little touch, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That's good.
Alrighty. You know that famous painting of the Nighthawks in a New York City diner, where it's maybe 3 a.m. and you can almost hear the silence of the empty streets. There's a man and some couple drinking coffee, and the guy behind the counter. And the guy is saying something, and I think I got it figured what it is. I think he's saying I am lonely, I am lonely. And the customers, they always answer back to him, so are we. I think they say I am lonely, I am lonely. And the canyons of the city seem to echo, so are we. You know that famous photo of the sailor and that nurse kissing in Times Square? It's the day the war is over and the people are electrified with joy. And he's leaning her over in his arms and he's kissing her with pure love. Though they've never met before and probably they'll never meet again. I think they're saying I am lonely, I am lonely. And the celebrating people answer back to them, so are we. I think they're saying I am lonely. Teeming canyons of the city echo, so are we. You You know that song that some guy wrote about Amazing Grace and how he found it? He was captain of a slave ship and was dealing in the wretchedness of man. But somewhere on the ocean, all the lies he told himself started drowning. And he heard his Lord speaking, and he got down on his knee. Started praying, I am lonely, I am lonely. And from deep below the deck the voices answer, so are we. He started praying, I am lonely, I am lonely. With pure amazing grace, the angels answer, so are we.
Michael Johnson and Michael Monroe here in the Roadhouse. That was beautiful.
Thank you. That's a true story, that last verse,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, it is.
He was captain of a slave ship.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great story. Is that a fairly new song?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, it's new for Hugh, and it's brand new for me.
Yeah, it's great. Now, as I'm listening to the two of you do this, do you get together and work on songs like this, or are you just...
Oh, we worked on it for 10 minutes or so, yeah. Yeah. Some harmonies just beg to be sung, though, and...
Yeah.
And
now, what about when you're getting ready for this cabin concerts that you've got over the next few nights? Who decides? How do you decide what you're going to do? Or is it kind of like, here, should we do this or should we do that?
I decide.
You are the boss.
No. I mean, we just totally play it by ear.
Yeah, that's what's fun, is because stuff can happen that you don't expect. And
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even, I mean, I'm all for rehearsal, and especially if you're making a recording and stuff, but there's something fun about what can happen in a live situation when you are just getting into a song someone else is doing. I love that tune. It's the first I've heard it today, though.
Wow. Yeah. Now, is there a point in your career where that happened, or was it, and I'm asking you both this, because it, to me, okay, Buck and I are going to perform, well, that would be a joke right there, but... going to perform someplace. I mean, I want to know what we're going to play, when we're going to play it, and well, let's have rehearsed this thing about 25 times before we do it. And you're just coming together and doing it. Was there a point where that became possible, or has it always been that way?
Yes. I don't remember what point it was, though, but and I think it, for me, it's sort of recent. In the last, I don't know, 8-10 years, I've gotten to the point where it's, I don't really write a set list anymore. Because you can really have fun with where the audience is going, and you get an idea of how to make the flow happen with the tunes and how they relate to each other and stories that you happen to think of telling at the time. And some things just tend to work the way they work because you've been doing it 100 times or million.
Sure.
But it is fun to get to that point where you're kind of riding a wave during the show.
And does it have something to do with what you were talking about earlier, Michael, about getting out of the way?
Yeah, getting out of your own way.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's no rehearsal required sometimes, because if you hear a verse in a chorus, and if you listen well and you remember what the chords are, then you can kind of sneak in and play, and then of course it all changes in the bridge and you're really in trouble and you're playing the flight of the bumblebee all over somebody's song. And
oh yeah, the bridge.
Yeah. But it's I don't know, I've got a few little fallback positions, I think, that I can use.
I imagine, having, and for the both of you, been on stage for as much and as long as you have, you just kind of learn how to roll with things and let them happen.
Yeah, mistakes used to just ruin the night for me. I'd feel like, oh man, I'm just such a hack, but that's something to play with too, and turn it into something funny or yep. or ignore it completely. Or
just keep moving. Keep moving.
Yeah, keep moving. That's the main thing.
Well, what are we going to move on to next?
I don't know. This we've done everything we know.
Oh, you did.
It's going to be a short concert tonight.
I was going to say, they didn't tell you bring four?
I have one.
Yeah.
As long as we can each do one, Michael.
We have time for two more?
Do we have time for two more?
We do.
Okay.
We do, yeah. In fact,
great. I'll just tune while you play it then.
Yeah, please do.
We've got time for two more if you get to it here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, we know you got to run. Thanks a lot.
Can't thank you enough for the time.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try this song. Was it when your dad took your little hand? Then you weren't afraid. Or the heart stitched on that cushion that your great-grandmother made. How do you know what you know? You can play along if you want, Michael. Was it when your grade school heart got shattered by your girl's unkind remark, or the day they put your dog down, and that night you heard him bark? How do you know what you know? How do you know what you know about love? How do you know what you know? Was it what you'd imagined? Was it what you believed? Does the love that you give come from love you've received? How do you know what you know? Was it when your parents told you they had tried but they were through, and they both said they'd be happier if they cut your life in two? How do you know what you know? Was it on the day that you were born and you found your mama's breast, and you thought her arms were the whole wide world, and you thought the world was blessed with this amazing miracle that would forever flow? Was the glory confirmed, or was your heart deceived? Does the love that you give come from love you received? How do you know what you know? How do you know what you know?
Michael Johnson. Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Michael Monroe.
Yes, Bob?
You're up.
Okay.
Sorry we don't have time for a song from Michael.
Well, I think it was 2 years ago that you were telling the story about finding your long-lost daughter, or her finding you.
Yeah.
And Buck, you said, Michael, you should write a song about that. And Michael said, I think Michael, the other Michael, should write a song and I'll arrange it, like we've been talking about today. So I, for the last year, I've been working on this song, and it's getting close. So I played it for Michael today, and we're going to...
Is this another debut then?
This is a debut.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, debut. Two in one night.
Wow, yeah. Okay. This is called Do You Ever Think of Me?
Everything, but I've heard a whole lot of what you've written, and that's as powerful as anything you've ever done.
Wow, well, thank you.
I can't imagine what you must have thought when you first heard it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I it's so close to home that I can't quite process it. You know?
I understand.
And sometimes I've tuned out the lyrics or some things that I heard for the first time just now.
Yeah.
And just like I told you earlier today when we played it through once, and we played it better then. I mean, I played better. But it's in progress for me. I mean, I'm assimilating.
Oh, sure.
But I sure look forward to
It's beautiful. To that.
It's a gorgeous song, Michael.
It really is.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
It
really is.
Well done. This, of course, have been Michael Johnson and Michael Monroe on their annual trip to the Roadhouse on close to New Year's Eve anyway. They've got three Log Cabin concerts coming up, one tonight at 8, one tomorrow night at 8. That one sold out, and one at 7 on Sunday night. Though the tonight and Sunday night do have a few seats left.
Yes, and so, they can call 218-387-2919 for the tickets. And your website is
mjblue.com.
Yeah.
Come and see me. Come and visit.
Yes, and mine is michaelmonroemusic.com. Okay.
Thank you both so much for being with us tonight. As always, it's just a
real pleasure.
Joy to have you here.
Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year to you guys, too. Thanks.